What's up, guys? It's another edition of Falcon Cast. Been a couple of weeks. Had some vacation. We had some time at the Scouting Combine. Did a little bit of everything. Shock and I were out in Vegas, but we welcome you guys back. Don't forget, if you're on iTunes, check out Falcon Cast. You can subscribe to us right there. I'm John Michaels. To my left, it's Jay Adams. A little bit further to the left, it's the QB. It's DJ Shockley. A lot of stuff to talk about. There's no news going on up here, is there?
Nothing happened.
No, nothing.
Nothing happened the last few days.
Been really, really quiet, very relaxing, stress-free.
Yeah, I can tell. I walked in, and Jay's got that look like... And I know that look doesn't really translate if you're not watching
the podcast.
It's been
a week, John.
I know.
It's been a week.
It has been.
It's been a couple of weeks, actually. But, you know, it's... It's all part of the offseason, all part of the NFL offseason.
It's never an offseason, though, right?
No.
It says offseason.
It's non-playing season.
That's what you got to say, non-playing season.
Non-playing season.
When I say the Shield does a great job with saying we're going to be yearly relevant, they make sure they are yearly relevant because
True.
News continues to trickle in. While we were off, it was an eventful week, couple of weeks for us. You missed out. Can't lie to you, Jay, I feel terrible. But you missed out on the Vegas trip. Vegas was a lot of fun. Shock, was that your first time out there?
No, it's my second time.
Okay.
Second or third time, yeah.
Was it the wifey's first time?
It was her first real time in Vegas. She went the last time, but she didn't understand Vegas for real. Like, you don't sleep in Vegas.
No.
And she was sleeping, and she didn't really get the full. But this time we did. And... unannounced because of this guy. We had a great night. We went out to one of the great nightclubs down there in Tao and had a great time. And John Michaels brought out Miami. He brought Miami to Vegas.
Yeah, there is a good thing that nobody took video of what happened there.
Well, we had a good time. That's all that matters. Yeah.
When they played Atlanta music, Shock, you know, had the shirt halfway unbuttoned. He's dancing and having a good – it was great.
I thought that what happens there stays there.
It does.
You're breaking rule number one.
No. We haven't said anything that happened. We just said we had a good time.
We danced and we had a good time. And we happened to have a nice section in the club right next to the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. Literally 18 of those guys were there, including former Falcon Vance Walker, who stopped by, said hello.
Vance, yeah.
Good dude. Going to get a nice ring, though.
Funny guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Good for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys that was here. Obviously, what we're going to get into today is pretty simple. If you're under a rock as a Falcon fan, if you're still under the rock, you know. Roddy White's no longer an Atlanta Falcon. Released yesterday from the team. Press conference with Dan Quinn afterwards. Jay, I know you were there. We were actually doing something else off-site. But you were there. Give us your first impressions of what happened with Roddy being released from the team.
Well, you know, once the talk starts, it's tough to ignore. And you knew that there were issues back during the season when Roddy wasn't happy with the number of catches that he was getting. You could see that frustration build throughout the year. And when the questions start coming up is this the last year of Roddy White in Atlanta, you know that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And it turned out in this case that there was a little bit of smoke and then all of a sudden a big, huge, gigantic, raging fire. And because it happened kind of fast. Nobody was really expecting it. At the combine, you know, it came up and Coach Quinn and Thomas said that they were still evaluating the situation and determining what they were going to do, what they think is best for the team, and turns out they were able to get that decision made and make the cut. And I think, if you're going to do it, it's the right time. You give them a couple of days before free agency starts here on Wednesday to kind of get his bearings and you kind of do him a favor by letting him, test the waters earlier rather than keeping him around longer while you try to figure out what to do.
Shock, you knew him really, really well. I mean, he's a personal friend of yours.
Yeah.
Is it a surprise for him that this was going to happen?
Yeah, I actually had a chance to talk with him last night, actually. And obviously, as a player, he thought there was a chance that they could possibly work it out. He thought it was a chance that he would still be here. He wanted to be a Falcon. He wanted to end his career. Obviously, he talked about that. That's public knowledge. He talked extensive about wanting to end his career as a Falcon. But I think him being around this league 11 years, he understood the business part of it. And he said, you know, I knew things were up in the air. I knew there were talks. Obviously, he couldn't, you know, hide away from it. He couldn't stray away from it. Everybody knows there was talks, especially once the season ended, that it's a possibility that he could not be a Falcon. But you know what? He was he's excited about what's to come. He still feels very excited about what he can do. He spoke specifically about wanting to play a couple more years, and I think he can. Obviously, last year with the numbers and everything, it didn't work out in his favor. He obviously didn't put up the numbers that he wanted, and that's going to be something that I think that's going to motivate him going forward. I know there are a few teams out there that have some Falcon ties that he could definitely end up in and have a chance to, you know, possibly play against the Falcons again. I think that's part of a motivation to want to be better and get better and be a continued producer in the National Football League. But he was surprised a little bit. But like I said, at the end of the day, he understands the business, and hey, he knows, hey, I got to move on now.
I think the accomplishment of being with one team for 11 years
right.
is something that
doesn't happen. Man.
It doesn't happen anymore in the age of bloated contracts and free agency, and you know everybody kind of just calling it a business and leaving loyalty at the door, so to speak. You know, to be with a team for 11 years is fantastic. It is a shame that he will not spend his entire career here, but man, what a set of memories that he has left in his wake. Certainly records he's set.
Yeah.
His name will absolutely be hanging from the rafters or whatever they decide to do with the Ring of Honor in the new stadium. So I think he's forever a Falcon, no matter where he goes, because this is really his legacy, and you know we'll all miss him.
Here's the hardest part of this, and I think we talked about it and we touched on it a little bit when William Moore was cut. You know, we've kind of talked. Matter of fact, we haven't even talked about Paul Soliai, what's going to happen with him. But the part of this that you really learn year in and year out, and you guys watch it on Hard Knocks on HBO. This is a business. We get emotionally attached as fans, as people that work alongside them, as former teammates. You get emotionally attached to certain people. But the realization is this is a business, and it's about the bottom line and trying to win football games. 8-8 for this regime was not good enough. 6-10 the year previous got your head coach fired. 4-12 the year previous saw changes then. You want to get back to what you were in 2012. Want to win an extra game or two after that. You'd like to win the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, when you get to a point where you're 8-8, hard decisions have to be made. And I can only imagine for a Thomas Dimitroff and an Arthur Blank who have been here the longest with Roddy White, how emotional that has to be. You've got to realize now a fan base who, you know, we heard it all year long. Free Roddy. Hashtag free Roddy. Get him the football. Do whatever.
Cheer, they catch.
Cheer
yeah,
every
yeah.
time he catch. Getting the loudest cheer running out of the tunnel every time when he's introduced. Now you got to turn around and tell this guy, you don't have a job anymore. That's the unfortunate part about the NFL that people have to realize. You cannot run an organization with your emotion. You have to do it with the best interests of W's and L's on Sunday afternoons.
And you know one thing that I thought Coach Coyne gave Roddy, you know, one of the biggest compliments was when he opened up his press conference yesterday. He said, my first, you know, stint in coaching in San Fran, I get there and we, you know, release Jerry Rice, the GOAT. And he says, you know, this is kind of what that felt like for this organization. I think that's the biggest part of it is people realize you gotta separate the two when you talk about personal and business and what they want to be in as far as the organization is, and it's just tough. It's tough. Like Jay, you mentioned, the guy spends 11 years at one place. It just doesn't happen too often. And what Roddy meant to everybody here, what he meant not just to what he did on the field, but off the field, in the locker room, when you interact with him. I mean, you just like being around the guy. He's one of those positive people, and he's always one of those players. And like you mentioned, regardless of whatever happens, whatever team he goes to the next couple of years, when you say Roddy White, you're always going to think of him as an Atlanta Falcon.
You know, for as long as I've been here, Roddy White has been really the glue that's held the wide receivers together. In the locker room, on the field, whatever, they're always kind of gravitating
yeah.
towards Roddy. He just has that infectious personality, that attitude. He loves life. I mean, he's like a Devontae Freeman. It's just every day is a chance to have fun, and that was really infectious for these guys to be around. I think, you know, it's early, and I know everybody's kind of still mourning through this, and you know, when you've got a guy around for 11 years, it's tough to say goodbye to him. But I think you have to start thinking about what's next. You've got a young wide receiver core. You've got a Julio Jones who is now absolutely 100% thrust into the leadership role of that position. And, oh, by the way, you've got a wide receivers coach who has never coached the offense before. So this room now is going to be very interesting. I think the writing is on the wall that you are absolutely going to bring in a veteran wide receiver at number two in free agency. I don't see how you don't. So this position now is suddenly very, very interesting to see what may happen here in the coming weeks.
And I think that's a very interesting point, Jay, because a lot of people are going to say, well, do you want a draft choice or do you want somebody that's a veteran? There are a lot, and I'm not going to get into names specifically, but there's a lot of receivers in the 26 to 28-year-old range who have hit the free agency market. Guys that can play inside, guys that can play outside, you know, a little bit of everything of different players that are available. Is this a position, I'll go through with both of you, that they are willing to spend, in your estimation, big money on during free agency? Or are they going to try to find that value guy, a guy that's going to come in for a decent price?
I think, honestly, more than price, it's going to be what can this guy do, because they're going to be looking for versatility. As Vaughn McClure from ESPN.com has reported, that number two wide receiver has to be able to return the football, has to be able to be a returner. So it's much more about what can these guys do on the field away from the wide receiver position. Can they return? Can they play special teams? And it's going to be way more about that than the money.
Well, if that's the name, I have a name out there, a guy who's a dynamic punt returner and a pretty darn good receiver. Oh, and by the way, he's played in Kyle Shanahan's offense before. That'll kind of give you all the hints you need to do. And they wore an orange helmet with nothing on the side.
It's interesting to see what happens. And I still look at the fact of where do they view or how do they view Justin Hardy right now. Mm-hmm. You know, do you view him as a guy who can step in and be your number two, or is he still a guy who's still learning and probably right now is your third? And I, on the press conference, you know, they asked Coach Quinn, what do you feel about Justin Hardy? Is he your clear-cut number two right now? And he said no. And I think that's a good comment to have, because it's going to tell Justin Hardy, hey, you know, you got to come in and work. You got to do your job. He already gave him some high praise, saying, look, we like the way he worked. We like the way he came in towards the end of the year. He started to become a little bit better in his role. He played a little bit more. But still, there's going to be competition at that second, third, and fourth receiver spot, and nothing is solidified. And I think, Jay, you bring up a great point, both you guys, as well as that guy has to be able to do multiple things, because you don't have that second or third guy right now who you feel can do multiple things. You know, you got a guy who, you know, maybe you think he can, but you don't know yet. So having a guy who can come in right away with that versatility and just you can fill him in now and he can be a big part of your offense, your special teams, that's a win for this offense. That's a way you replace a guy who's been around here for 11 years doing the things he's been done. You know you have your number one, but you got to have some pieces around him that can be very versatile, and you can use them inside or outside. That can stretch the field. Right. That can really put a lot of pressure on teams that you just can't say, all right, we're going to line up and double cover number 11, and everybody else, you can be man-to-man. No, you got to have somebody else who can strike fear into another defense as well.
Well, the thing with Justin Hardy, I think if you're going to look at him, you've got to look at the last four or five games of his, because the arc goes very, very high, very, right. very fast. Right. He picked it up really, really quickly. And if we remember the first part of the season, he was inactive. Mm-hmm. So he goes from being completely inactive to being a integral part of the offense, I think. I think you're going to continue to see that trend. For me, he's the number three wide receiver. I don't know that he was ever drafted to be a number two wide receiver. He's great in the slot. I think that's where they want him. Whoever they're going to bring in free agency, I think, is automatically going to be the clear number two. Okay. I don't know that – I kind of disagree with you, Jacques. We don't do a lot of disagreeing on this show, but I'm going to disagree with you in saying that there's competition at number two. I think if you're going to go out and spend the money, you're going to say that this guy is your number two guy.
Spend the money by how much you mean by spend the money, because that could, you know, are you, you know, in the middle $4-5 million range, or you're trying to go above and beyond right. that to get a number two when you know you need some other spots where you know you got to spend some money.
Right, because you've got to spend money on that defense.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And on the O-line.
Yeah.
So, and on the O-line.
So do you put some money into a number two guy and take it away from other positions? That's another key question. So
That's why
I think the middle of the range kind of money is the guy that you're looking for that can still be versatile and take that.
Yeah. I think $4 million is your top. Because if you're talking about cutting a guy that made six, was scheduled to make six and some change, cap savings is about 2.5 when you add the signing bonuses together and everything else that goes into the dead money for this year. You're not going to cut a guy that was scheduled to make six to sign another guy that's going to make six. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make financial sense. So you'd have to assume $3 or $4 million probably tops, which is going to get you out of the range of the biggest name free agents in wide receiver position this year.
But you also got these guys, though, like we mentioned, those guys in that 25 to 28 range that are the number twos at their, you know, or the number twos at their prospective organizations right now. Some of those guys are coming in thinking, now I can be a better number two or a number one, so they're going to want more money. They're going to ask for more money. So that's going to be the other issue that the Falcons are going to have to deal with is you want that middle-range guy who you look at and say, all right, he's that type of guy, but in his mind, he's like, okay, it's time for me to get paid.
Yeah. I could see the Falcons setting the market on this. I really could. I could see them being the first ones out of the gate to sign a wide receiver in free agency.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, just I think they know who they want, and they'll go and get them. And now that you've got this negotiating period, it makes 4 o'clock on Wednesday a little bit more exciting because that's when deals can become official. So it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, the Falcons go and snag whoever they want right there on Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
One of the things I wanted to talk about with Roddy is some of the cool moments or, you know, memories of him from on the football field or off the field. We've all been blessed enough to interact with him on and off the field. You know, some of the things that come to mind for me, Matt Haley tweeted this yesterday. He said, what's your favorite Roddy moment? For me, it's simple. It's the catch against Richard Sherman in the playoffs in 2012. Richard Sherman spent the whole game doing this nonsense. And he give the guy credit. He was covering Julio and Roddy and doing a darn good job of it. Well, Matt caught Roddy on a deep post, and Richard slips, whatever he wants to say, at about the 3-yard line, and Roddy catches the ball and then turns and hands it to him. I know Bosek was playing that highlight earlier. Turns and hands it to him, and Richard Sherman's giving him, like, the golf clap. A moment that just tells you who Roddy is on the field. We saw it this year against Carolina. You want to get up in the face of the wide receiver position of the Atlanta Falcons, you better bet your money that 8-4 is going to be right there in the middle. This is the play I'm talking about. I'm talking
just
about
just beautiful.
Right down the field. Oh, sorry, Richard. Oh, sorry, Cam Chancellor. You're not fast enough either. And here, you can have the football. Since you want to talk trash here, you can have it. It's yours. And Harry's trying to break it. HD's like, no, calm down. Here comes Quiz Rogers. Yeah. Here's Matt Ryan. Gotta love it. Julio's like, get off me.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Dude, for the you know, 4 or 5 years I played with Roddy, this is the type of stuff I saw in practice every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about just this competitive edge that he had with all the defensive backs. If they all wanted to chip, they wanted to talk. Oh, Roddy was going to be the guy who wanted to step up to the line and say, let's go. Let's do it. Because he lived for moments like that. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you the competitor he is. And that's why you talk about him being the glue. That's why he's the glue. Mm-hmm. Because guys know every time they step on that field, regardless of who's in front of him, they can depend on A4 to be there for him. Or he can be that guy to get you going. But when it was time to step up to the plate, he was ready to go. And that showed you exactly what he's about.
I'm going to go back a little further for mine. 2010 season, I think it was like the third game of the year, San Francisco was visiting the Georgia Dome. Very, very close game throughout. Falcons have the ball in the final minute, and you've got to drive down the field. You got to get down there, and Matt throws a completion to Nate Clements, who happened to be playing for San Francisco. And so Nate Clements takes off for the end zone,
go
and Roddy White, out of friggin' nowhere,
go get it,
comes and just destroys Nate Clements' world by forcing a fumble. Harvey Dahl, another hustler, gets down the field and recovers it. And suddenly you're back in the ballgame. You get down the field and you win. That play right there encapsulates what Roddy White did for the Falcons. It was always about effort and not giving up and giving his all to this team. He started out with a rough couple of first years with the team, and those are pretty well documented. But he made a decision to take on the responsibility, become accountable for himself, grow up and be a leader on this team. And he did that both vocally and in the way he played on Sunday. And that play for me is one that's always going to stick in my mind that shows the type of player that he was.
I got a play in practice where we were in like one-on-ones, and this was like my rookie year. And my rookie year, I line up and freaking Roddy's out there, and we call a go route. Now under throw it. He comes back. He's looking at me like, "What's up, man? I know you can let it go." So next time we up again, I overthrow him. He comes back again. He says, "Look, Bubba." That's what he used to say. "Bubba, just put it anywhere in my area. Just put it around me." Next time we call the exact play, I gave it to him. Goes up and just skies above. I think it might have been D'Angelo at the time. Skies above him, picks it up. He comes back, hands me the ball, and say, "Hey, you want completion? That's what you do." And throw it to him like that. That's how he played. That's how he went about his business. He just was like, "Give me a chance,
right,
and I will show you what I can do." And then I knew what type of player he was. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a guy who was, at any given time, if you gave him opportunity to make a play, he was going to make the play. And that instance right there was just shock. You don't have to do too much. You don't have to try to make the perfect pass. Just put it in his area, and he's going to make a play on it. And that's the type of stuff I saw that transferred over on Sundays, like you just talked about. You give him a chance, he's going to make the play. He's going to make you look good. And I'm sure Mac can got plenty of stories the same way of him just saying, "Hey, Bubba, just put it in my area."
what I love too about him is just that, and I tell people this all the time, he is absolutely unique. Yeah. Like, I've never met anybody like him in that he has, again, that fun-loving personality, just loves to have fun, loves life, but you never can read where he's going, what he's doing. It's just, Roddy lives in the moment, and it can be really, really funny sometimes.
Yeah.
Just being around him, just watching him. I mean, I remember one year, I think it was 2010 as well, where it was around Halloween, he just put on a mask and did his entire media interview in a mask. I mean, just that's the kind of stuff that Roddy would do. And you're going to miss hearing that loud, shrill scream.
Or just laughing. That laugh. He did that thing called passes, just, you know, falling to the ground, just a little shriek that you hear.
Roddy's shriek.
You know, the other thing was the personal side, the personable side of him. You know, we all travel together, and it's not just players on the plane. There's staff members. There's guys like us that, you know, quite frankly, the football players tend to look at and go, "I don't want to bother with these guys because they're media." Roddy was friendly to everybody, whether you were an intern that was just starting, whether you were a guy that's been on the team, part of the staff forever. He was just a personable guy.
Yeah.
He would laugh. He'd joke. You know, if he was telling a joke, you get on the elevator with him, he'd laugh, and he wouldn't care.
Yeah. I always got the question after, you know, I would tell people what I do. It's like, "Oh, are you in charge of Roddy White's Twitter account?" I'd be like, "No, I have no jurisdiction over that. That's Roddy just being Roddy." And I would always tell people, though, whatever he said on Twitter, most times he didn't think anything of it. He was just like, "I'm just speaking my mind right now. Yeah. Like, I don't know what's wrong with it." And all that, and so there was an innocence there. Like, he would never be malicious,
right?
I think is the point I'm trying to make. And you know, he was always interesting when, you know, 9 o'clock at night you're scrolling through, Roddy's on Twitter. Oh boy, what are we gonna have to deal with?
It was good for us. It would give us a radio topic the next day. Typically he'd say something that everybody would blow out of proportion. Either way, I think what you guys can kind of ascertain from everything that we're saying here, we're gonna miss the guy.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we're gonna miss him on the field. We're gonna miss him off the field. I know a lot of the fans reacted on local radio a lot, very upset, very hurt that he's gonna be gone. But I stress, it's a business. And it was probably, I won't even say probably, it was the best business decision for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, it was. And now looking forward and you know, get your thoughts on this is, again, you've got Julio Jones that's thrust into that leadership spot. How is he going to do there? And you've got another mainstay from that room in Terry Rubisky who won't be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This room, this position is going to be very interesting this year. You know, I think Julio is up to the challenge of being a leader. I think he's going to be a different kind of leader than what Roddy was. Roddy's very – he'll be rah-rah. He'll talk. He'll talk smack.
I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think Julio's still going to be the dynamic player he is. But I think he fed off Roddy a lot more than people thought. Yeah. If you ever watch a game, if you ever had a chance to be at the Dome and watch a game, and whenever the offense comes off to the field, you can always see Roddy and Julio right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And all you see is Julio just, you know, just talking to Roddy, getting feeding. They going back and forth about different stuff, bouncing stuff off of him. And now it's going to be different. He's not going to have that guy in the meeting room or on the field or to throw stuff off of and have that guy who he knows I can trust to get me through something. So it's going to be a little bit different, like you said, to be in that role and then also be the leader role of everything now.
It kind of reminds me of a situation a couple of years ago when Matt Ryan was – in a quarterback room with Chris Redman and John Parker Wilson, mm-hmm. two guys who were very close, personal friends of his, mm-hmm. and they were both cut in the same year, and all of a sudden you've got two brand-new guys in there, and you don't know them, and, oh, by the way, you've also got a brand-new quarterbacks coach you don't know very well. And so, you know, Shaq can probably speak more to the dynamics of a meeting room, but I'm sure position meeting rooms feel different when – all of a sudden these people are gone and you're introducing new personalities into that room.
It's so different. I mean, you're so used to being able to say what you want and guys know who you are mm-hmm. and not have to worry about, okay, if I say this, how are they going to look at me?
Right.
And that's part of a meeting room because you spend so much time in meetings. Yeah. I mean, people don't understand how much time you spend in meetings, looking at film, going over stuff. I remember when we were all in there, me, Chris, and Matt, we would be freaking playing hangman at times. just crazy stuff to you know.
See how serious you guys were taking your craft.
Keep our minds right. Man. It was just little small stuff like that, man. It's what makes a QB room good, makes any room good, and makes the guy who is actually the starter, you know, feel better because he knows he has guys who, you know, he can trust and be around and be himself.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, we're definitely going to miss Roddy White, and we'll spend some time in the next week. By the way, I wanted to plug this for next week's episode. We're going to be at the Falcon Cast will be coming live from the Mercedes-Benz Preview Center. We'll talk about the new stadium, taking a tour of the venue that's going up. Obviously, you don't want to miss that episode. We'll remind you of that before we go along. But we're going to miss Roddy. We'll spend some time. We were going to do a little bit more today, give you some behind the scenes. It's actually snowing and icy outside here in the middle of March in Flowery Branch.
Out of nowhere.
I had on a T-shirt yesterday.
That's why we're sweatshirts.
This doesn't surprise me. My birthday is March 23rd, and it snowed on my birthday.
Really? Your birthday is the 23rd?
So I'm telling you, this is normal for March, man. Things like this happen, you know.
When I was a kid living in Rochester, New York, I'll never forget it. It was the first week of March, and the weather started out really, really nice in the beginning of the week. And I had WWF tickets for that Friday night. There was a big show at the arena. I was ready. I was ready to see the big show and all that. Then this blizzard comes through, and they're like, "Oh, the show is still going on." And then they're like, "Oh no, it is canceled." And I was crushed.
And you never got to see the WWF, did you? They never came back, did they?
They didn't. Well, they did, but not for that show.
Oh, that stinks. Yeah. Feel for you now.
So the first week of March and March snow in general is just a bad idea for me.
I'm not a big fan of March snow. I like when January ends.
You're still
supposed
crushed
to be warm.
By it, I can tell.
He is.
I am.
He is. I should have gotten you some tickets to SmackDown this past Tuesday.
I know, I missed that.
And it was pretty awesome. I was there.
I believe it.
Dean Ambrose is my guy.
I don't know who that is.
He's a maniac. I watched in years. He's called the Lunatic Fringe. That's my kind of guy. He's like this snowstorm ending canceled. WWF.
Yeah, that was it for me.
For me forever. Well, we'll break with Bosek a little bit early today. Bosek, it's been a while. I saw you yesterday, but that's the year there.
How you guys been?
Bosek, good. Awesome. How about you, man?
I've been great. I want it to be warmer outside, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Here's my question for today. If every statue in the world came to life at the same time, which area would be in the most trouble?
Where do you come up with this?
This is crazy.
I'm going to go with Egypt. Doesn't Egypt have like all kinds of like crazy?
You're like Solo on this one. I'm not
any museum.
Right, that's what I say.
But doesn't Egypt have some big statues outside?
But like monuments, like in Rio.
Yeah.
What else you got, Bo? I know you got
first
some
thing
more.
That came to my mind was the Panthers stadium.
Oh, you wouldn't want those.
Yeah,
those
you wouldn't want to be there.
Huge. I'd be afraid of like a Ghostbusters 2 situation where, like, you know, the Statue of Liberty animates through some goo and then comes in battles.
And walks through the water and his head just above the water right there, like
Puff Marshmallow Man.
I could go for some marshmallows right now. But that's exactly
I don't know. I'm
doesn't Egypt have like some sphinxes and all kinds
of
stuff?
Well, they
got like
pyramids, yeah.
Well, not just the pyramids. Don't they have other statues too?
Sarcophaguses. Sarcophagi.
Yeah, just the pyramids. Yeah.
China's
yeah.
got that terracotta.
Terracotta yeah. warriors. I was going to. Yeah. That was actually going to be my answer.
Oh, sorry.
Was the terracotta warriors.
Yeah. That's probably the most craziest one.
And this one really came from out of left field.
Yeah, where did you get this? Like,
The internet.
You're watching that movie, The Night in the Museum, where all those animals come alive.
No. I think every good idea comes from the internet at this point.
Well,
this one's definitely out there. Yep. I looked at this and
it's crazy.
I have no idea.
I like to keep mine break with posts.
I like it, though. I like keep us on our toes, though. We like that.
What about the Mayan ruins? Is there any statues there, or are those just ruins?
You're all about pyramids and stuff, huh?
Yeah, those ancient people had powers. They could shoot lightning and stuff like that. All right, with that, we'll go to the video of the week. There is a power with this, and it's called a tiger.
Hopefully.
Tiger. Tiger Wu?
Is it Tiger Woods?
Tiger
Wu
bat?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Wu bat.
Is it Tiger Woods going to be holding his back?
Tiger
it might be Tiger Woods.
On behalf of Blue Jack National, it is my great honor to have you out for the inaugural round of the playgrounds at Blue Jack National.
So Tiger Woods built.
I heard about this.
Tiger Woods built a children's golf course.
Nice. Good for him.
So this is the inaugural
event. You guys
didn't
hear about this?
No, this
is awesome.
This is the first shot ever played on this golf course. This kid gets the privilege of...
You know what's coming.
Already tell.
He turns into Tin Cup and he hits Tiger.
First shot ever.
Nice
little
swing.
Look at that swing.
No way. Are you kidding me?
First shot ever at this new children's golf course. Hold on. And Tiger Woods was there. Here he comes. That's Tiger.
Dude, that's awesome.
Dude.
Isn't that incredible?
The first shot ever. That's amazing.
Your life never gets better than that.
Oh, man.
I hate to say, buddy, you peaked at 11.
You peaked at 11. It's not going to get better than that.
And then he's got to follow up his shot, but incredible.
Wow.
That is absolutely
that's
amazing.
That's bananas.
So 81 that yards, that's fantastic.
Have any of you guys ever had an ace?
I've not had an ace.
I had a chip-in from like 10 feet, and
I
was proud of that.
Yeah, I didn't ask about chip-ins.
I'm just saying, that was my closest I've ever got, and it felt great.
I've gotten one in from 50 out.
Oh, wow.
But the closest I've ever come.
No ace for me.
I've got the picture on here.
Of
I was about 145 yards out. Bo Morgan was there, or nobody would believe it. I was playing
as
in Stone Mountain.
That I really don't believe it. I really don't believe it now.
No,
I really don't believe it. 140
some odd yards out, and one hopped it into the cup. I could have done that again if I tried. Matter of fact, here it is.
Just a ball in the
from
cup.
From right here,
okay.
Can see the flags over there. Look,
there's a flag.
There's the flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He went and threw it in there and then took the picture, guys.
One hop in.
It's very easy to duplicate.
Yeah, I mean.
Nice.
So are you doubting me? Is that what you're saying?
No, no.
Now, Bo was there. Squid was there. Hey, man, I give him the ball. I said, what was that? The ball in the hole.
That's Squid Belly right there.
That's how Bo Morgan, the producer of the Falcons Radio Network, talks.
Yeah. All right, let's go home. It's icy.
It's icy. Well, Don't forget.
Before we get out of here, let's congratulate this guy over here. How about you do the honors and tell the people what spectacular things has happened in your life in 2016 already?
Well, 2016, and Shock was out there, and I sent him a nice message, but I really appreciated DJ and his wife, Portia, being out there. It was really cool to finally meet her, first and foremost. Mike Bell from the Falcons radio station, 92.9 The Game, was there as well. I got engaged a couple of weeks ago. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Now, do not ask me what I said. Because I literally blacked out. I had the ring.
Sweating like crazy.
I was ready to go. I get down on the knee. She turns around, and I remember this part. She goes, John, what are you doing? Stop playing. And from that point on, the next thing I know, we were hugging. And And I asked her a second. I said, "Did you say yes?" She was like, "Yeah." I said, "Yes." So there's like a 2 minute gap in my life or 20 second gap in my life that I won't ever remember. But it was awesome. So I got engaged first and foremost, and Shock was there for the party at Tao. We had a wild, fun, great time. Good time with good friends. A lot of good music, and then maybe even better if it's better than getting engaged. I will not be leaving Atlanta anytime soon. I am back on full-time local radio, 92.9 The Game, where the Falcons radio station.
So love it.
I will be back. That means I'm on the field, all that good stuff. So 2016 has been pretty awesome. Ballin'. I just hope I don't tear some.
Fantastic.
Ballin'.
Phenomenal.
New check, people.
Man.
Now I actually can pay you for winning both picks to click.
Thank you.
Now you get McDonald's.
I've had a terrible year, but let's go out on that.
All right. Well, next week.
I didn't think it was a joke. I didn't think it would get awkward.
I was like, all right, I'm gonna end this show right now. You guys did a great job up at the Combine, and I know we didn't get a chance to talk about this.
Yeah,
this week.
Had to shorten up the script because
other
of the
than what was your flub?
Oh, man. We'll have to show that sometime.
We will. That it's might a, be video of the week hours. Next week.
I was doing a stand-up, and so we got the idea that we were gonna go to the Combine, and we weren't going to do, like, the normal, like, newsy stuff, mm-hmm. right? Because you can get that everywhere.
Right.
So we wanted to go up and have some fun. And so, again, everybody in the media is there, and so you can get a lot of opinions on a lot of different things. And so we went around and asked people – who would star in a movie about Dan Quinn, Stone Cold Steve Austin, or Goldberg? Mm. And just got answers on that and whatever. But I did a stand-up, and I wasn't really prepared for it. I was just like, oh, I'll just go off the top of my head. And it took like seven takes. But one of the takes I get all the way through, and on the last word, I think I was saying – and so now we're going to go around and ask a very important question. That's what I wanted to say.
What happened?
What I actually said was, and now we're going to go around and ask a very important peckle.
Oh! Peckle?
That's a peckle.
Okay, couple things. That's not a word.
You blacked out for a second.
It does not sound anything like question.
No.
The word question is not even close, and
important and question. That's
like
what
how
it is.
Like how you blacked out for like mm-hmm. 2 minutes or whatever. I have no recollection of that.
Except it's on video.
I may have had a stroke. I don't know. Like it is just baffling to me how I was able to make.
Both
that.
Like you guys saved that, right?
Oh yeah, I was. Oh, filming, we need that. I was filming it. I'm like, oh, this is great. He did great. And then all of a sudden,
no,
he said,
"Last word."
He said, "Peckle."
On the last.
Did you just say peckle?
I said question. How did I screw that up on the last one? Of course, I use more colorful language, but. Yeah, I don't know what a peckle is.
Yeah, those are some of the best moments in TV mm-hmm. or otherwise is because we may come across as fairly professional on the air.
Oh, no, we're not.
If you see some of the outtakes.
Some of the bloopers are really
you
funny.
You saw the bloopers. We put out some bloopers recently.
We got plenty out there.
We'll put out some more.
As a matter of fact, I think you guys released that blooper tape when I was in Vegas. Because I'm in the elevator watching this. And, you know, of course in Vegas you get all these random people in and off. And I'm in the elevator crying laughing. And people are looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? You know, I had a couple of pops.
Because Bosek had the one me knocking over the mic.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Flexing on us and just making us all feel bad.
Jay's all snap stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Me swearing all the time. I swore more than Brian Cox.
Yeah, you did.
Mic check.
And with that, we will end the Falcon Cast.
We don't want to end it.
We've been here
next
2 weeks,
man.
Next week at the
next week Center. MB Preview Center. Make sure you pay attention to that. It will be a lot of fun.
We're talking all new stadium. All Mercedes-Benz Stadium next week.
Deuces.
Holla.
Oh, I'm sore. I threw a change up.
Ah!